You can't start the car. Johnny has the keys.
Rule number one, don't open the door.
Wow, how did they film that? What is going on?
I think that was one of the best scenes I've seen in a lot of movies.
When you're watching them, you're like, what am I watching?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, no, you love me. You know you love me.
This is like art, dude. This is like right in your face incredible.
I can't stop watching it. What the hell is going on?
What the hell is going on?
I mean, I fell in love with it from the opening credits.
It just kind of blew my mind how brilliant it was.
We just know. We can tell. We've watched so many VHS movies.
Yeah, we are sad, sad people.
Hello, hello, and welcome out there in YouTube and podcast land. You have reached Johnny Has the Keys, a podcast and YouTube channel where two guys get together. We talk about horror and or science fiction, films, television, literature, things related to that. We discuss key influences that that particular topic had on things and or things that influenced it. That's our, hence our key references. We've been doing it for a few years now. We're totally unscripted. We just kind of get together and talk through it and surprise each other, usually every week. And if you're new to us, great. We would love to know how you found out about us or what interested you. If you would mind giving us a comment down there below, we'd really appreciate it. Also, if you would like to rank us, that would be great too. Give us some stars on iTunes or give
Hollywood
us your opinions.
Walk of Fame.
Yeah. We have a website, of course, and we have all of our past seasons and episodes and those kind of things, as well as a Patreon page. If you are returning to us, yay, we're glad you're back. This week, it's going to be, so scary this week. So Tim will take over that. My name is David. I'm here with my good friend Tim. Like I said, Tim, we normally start with, what have you been doing in your genre week? So your genre is the horrors and stuff.
How horrible
has it been?
It hasn't been bad at all. Actually, I went and revisited something I have not seen since it came out.
Wow.
And it makes perfect sense with our topic today because of the gore. And that is a little movie from 2013 called The Evil Dead.
Oh, I haven't seen that since it came out.
I haven't either. And I could not remember it or how I felt about it, honestly.
Fade Alvarez?
It's Fade or Fady, yeah. F-E-D-E Alvarez is his name. I couldn't remember it. So 10 years later, I decided to watch it again, especially after having seen Evil Dead Rise recently, which I loved. Mm-hmm. And this movie is not bad. I mean, I love that they pay homages to the original and that they really stick to horror more than comedy.
Oh, yeah. I would rank this higher than Evil Dead 2. Which
me too,
I thought
but
was
most people
remake and a horror and a comedy, whereas this is literally horrific. I mean, we're talking like buckets of blood, and I love the subtext, the drug subtext, and everything else. I was trying to remember. Now I have to watch it again too because I haven't watched it since the first time.
It's got a great cast too, and some of them have gone on to do other stuff. Jane Levy's in it, Shiloh Fernandez, and this guy named Lou Taylor Pucci plays the long-haired guy. Mm-hmm. Do you remember him, the blonde long-haired guy that finds the book and starts reading it?
Yeah.
He is the guy from that movie Spring that I've talked about.
Okay.
That Benson and Moorhead did, that's like a Lovecraftian monster movie set in Italy. It's like a romance. He's the lead in that. And I didn't recognize him because his hair is really long in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was going to do just a brief synopsis. Mia, as you mentioned, is a drug addict. Asked her brother and his girlfriend and their friends, Olivia and Eric, to accompany them to the family's remote forest cabin, which we're all familiar with. Mm-hmm. Eric finds the mysterious Book of the Dead at the cabin and reads aloud from it, awakening an ancient demon. And then all hell breaks loose. This movie only gets 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think that's not good.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes sucks. I've told you.
No, they're usually on it, but they're not on it with this one. The only thing I can think is the ending doesn't really work. with Mia being the final girl instead of the brother.
Right.
I didn't like that because Mia was already possessed. I don't think she should have been able to shed that demon. I think it should have been like the original where the brother is the survivor. But like I said, Evil Dead Rise is a superior movie to this, but I don't dislike this at all. And I'm like you, I'm not as big a fan of Evil Dead 2, whereas a lot of folks consider it the best. And I'm like, really? It's too comic. It's like a Joe Dante movie with big rubber costumes.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on all of those points. The thing I remember about this one was – I remember thinking, okay, this is a remake that to me works.
Mm-hmm.
That is still pays homage to the original, but not in a blatant way that you suddenly go, Easter egg, kind of thing. It doesn't take you out of this film and this experience, which is good for a remake to do.
Right. And it's extremely visceral and extremely scary, just like the first movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I did in my genre week.
Well, you did good stuff, and I did not good stuff. Fell on the Netflix marketing bandwagon because it kept popping up every time I would start Netflix and watched a little ditty that came out in 2023. So it's been recent. Stars Shailene Woodley. Who I've always liked and everything she's done. Jack Whitehall, I've seen him in a couple of other things, and he's pretty good. And it's a little thing called Robots. This is not the Robin Williams Robots. This is a different Robots. The basic premise is almost like Humans, the television series on BBC, which is very, very good, where we are dealing in a world that has companies that have realistic robots. They were outlawed just recently before this, but before that, we had them. This tells the story of, well, as a setup, you're at a skating rink, and you see a guy and a girl, and they bump into each other, and he helps her up, and he's not a very good skater, but she kind of is, and they, you know, strike up a relationship. And it goes, this is like at the very beginning of the movie, goes through
it's kind 1978.
Of a montage of their goes through like a montage of their dating and everything else. Turns out both of those are robots. The girl robot has a the female in it has a girl robot in her exact same likeness. She has gotten it off the black market, and you're not supposed to have, you know, realistic looking likeness robots, but she does. She has her go out and hook up with guys, or at least start the hookup with guys, because she's a gold digger. She wants all of their money and everything else. So anytime the guy wants to sleep with anyone, she'll send the robot in. She never sleeps with them, never has romantic encounters with them. She just handles the flirtation kind of part at the beginning. Then turns out the other guy is not real either. He's a robot. There's another guy that has a realistic robot of him. He only sends his robot out to do the romantic work. He just wants the sex. So he lets his robot do all the romantic work, and then he jumps in and tags out for all the sex.
That's an interesting premise.
So thought it would be a cool idea. Okay, how did the blah, blah, blah. This, Tim...
It's bad.
This is not even a good college film. This is so bad.
Is it foreign?
Well, it's interesting. It turns out the writer-director are Norwegian or Danish.
Netflix sort of does import a lot of stuff.
But this isn't dubbed or anything else. And these are obviously American actors. And everything, but the plotting, the story, the lighting, it is so horribly bad. I literally came close to like turning it off. I was going, but no, I've got to. I never do that. I've got to watch.
Oh,
the
no, you
thing.
Have to.
I have to suffer through it.
Walk
and get
away.
To the end and hope that there's resolution. And there wasn't. And it didn't work. And it was horrible. It was really, really bad.
I mean, to tell you how bad it goes off the rails. So both the robots realize that they're being manipulated by the humans, and they're really in love. They've fallen in love for real. So they steal their identities and start this kind of setting them up to go to prison, rampage, Bonnie and Clyde kind of weird thing. It just gets really weird and stupid.
Off the rails.
And off the rails. And yes, so I would, now I'm going to have to go back and watch Evil Dead again just to feel better.
Because, to feel better?
Yeah. It was terrible.
Watch Evil Dead Rise.
Evil Dead. I haven't seen that yet. So that's, yeah. And you
need to see that because it's even better. But, well, that's a terrific segue Evil Dead. What we have today is very bad and very gory. Both of what we were just talking
about. Just what we were saying. Yes. Those things.
I have ties to this movie that I'm about to reveal. Nostalgic ties mostly. It's very similar to a movie like Basket Case because I love it so much because it's so bad. And that is a little movie from 1985 called Demons. It is, it's got a lot of famous Italian people attached to it. In particular, Lamberto Bava, who directed it. He is a third generation Italian filmmaker. His grandfather, Eugenio Bava, who died in 1966, was a cameraman and optics effect in the early days of silent films in Italy. And then, of course, his father, Mario Bava, is a legendary cinematographer and special effects designer and director. Lamberto started hanging out with his dad on the set of Planet of the Vampires, which is a movie that is on our list and inspired Dan O'Bannon's Alien.
Yep, which is why it's on our list.
So we got some history there, but then we've also got the fact that Dario Argento wanted to start producing around this time. He had produced Dawn of the Dead with George Romero, and then he decided to produce this little ditty, and he co-wrote it, and some of the suggestions I'm sure were his, maybe the music. I'm not sure about that, because this movie has a lot of jarring. You know what? That's what I was going to say. If I had to sum up this movie with one word, it would be jarring, because it's an Italian film set in Germany with loud American and British pop and heavy metal music. Mm-hmm. It's in your face, gory. The dubbing is terrifically bad and hilarious at times because people shout things that are just so contrary to the situation or so over the top. So yeah, that's probably one of the reasons I enjoy it. But it is an Italian production that was filmed in Berlin on location, and then the interiors are done back in the studio in Italy, in Rome. So, what is your first experience with this movie? Do you remember?
I think you made me watch it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think you, because it didn't even connect to me until the scene happened. But when he said, "Smash everything, smash everything, smash."
Yes.
I immediately thought of you and Steve Roey and Farmer.
Steve Roey.
And
yes,
all of that. It was because that was Steve's
David
favorite.
Farmer would not have liked this, but Steve Roey and I watched this movie several times, I'm sure.
Well, I think the pimp was probably Roey's favorite character in it.
He's the best thing in this.
He is the best thing in this, by the way. But I think on VHS, probably at your house or whatever.
In 1986, because this was released in, I guess, Italy in 85, but it didn't hit the States till 86.
Yeah. And I obviously repressed a lot of it because watching it again for this, I was like, I'd forgotten all about that. And I do want to send you my watch notes because I think you'll enjoy them. I took them beat by beat, you know, through the movie kind of thing.
I wrote down lines that made me laugh.
Well, I thought
there has to be an explanation.
No. Yeah. I do think we can probably agree that the acting in this is absolutely terrible.
Well, I'm not sure if it is because we don't know because they're not speaking in their own voices. It's dubbed.
Well, and that's true, too. As a matter of fact, my third note in my watch note is, okay, Tim, I watched the dubbed version, so I can't tell if the dubbed people suck or the acting actually sucks. So, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't own this on Blu-ray. I think I just own the regular DVD. And I don't know if there's a subtitled version out there that's not dubbed. I think the only version I've ever seen has been the dub version. And you know, contrary, I usually watch the subtitle version.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I've never seen the subtitled version. It's always been dubbed.
I mean, there's no... When we get into analysis or whatever, we don't talk... We will probably won't talk a lot about plot in this because it really didn't make...
It can be summed up in a couple sentences.
You know, but like in my notes, I've got, okay, let's meet the cast. First, I'm calling this girl the girl in the elf dress because this is obviously the scene when they get to the theater. And they said, we have final girl Cheryl, her bitchy friend, two obvious date rapists, a pimp from the wrong movie and his hose, sweater prep, a blind guy.
A blind guy at a movie.
And for some reason, the Italian cast of Return of the Living Dead driving around. I don't know.
Right.
Why they are in it.
No, that's
why
actually a great key.
They do nothing for this movie.
Well, but I mean, in all fairness, they were all selected and hand invited by the mysterious man in the mask handing out tickets to the opening of the Metropole. So that's why you have like a whole bunch of different people there.
But not the punks in the car. We spent.
No,
we
that is a, that's another. Tag to my jarring thing. That's a jarring subplot that comes in about 40 minutes into the movie.
It makes no difference to the plot at all.
Well, it's what releases them out in the world. Their whole reason for being in this movie is opening that door so one can get out.
But they don't open it. The theater opens it itself.
That's true.
It's You're Deus
right.
Ex.
It does.
There's so much Deus Ex in this. There's Deus Ex door, and then there's Deus Ex helicopter, and then there's Deus Ex Jeep family from Jeep Hero family.
Oh my God, what the hell is going on? I was like, why is there a helicopter? Then I was like, okay, it's out in the world, and I guess the helicopter pilot became possessed and crashed into the roof of the building.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
No,
at all.
It really does not. No,
it does not. All right. Well, a brief synopsis is basically this mysterious man in this like silver Phantom of the Opera mask goes around handing out tickets to the opening of a theater called the Metropole. And apparently that building is actually still around and in Berlin, Germany.
It's a club.
Yeah, it's a landmark now because of this film. And the beginning is totally crazy because this woman thinks he's stalking her, and then he ends up confronting her and just handing her a ticket. And yeah. They're playing all this horrible music. It's supposed to be suspenseful music, when in reality, it's just the main theme of the movie replayed. It's not even different music.
Mm-hmm.
She asks for an extra ticket. Her and her friend go. As you say, they meet a couple of date rapists. I don't know that they're date rapists. I think they're just two guys that are horny and wanting to, you know, go out with these chicks. I don't know. Sure. You're right. There is that woman that looks like she's an elf because she's in a green dress. I always remembered her as being a villain, but apparently she's not a villain in this until she turns into a demon.
Yeah, that's There's one a of blind my questions, guy and. Why is she the way she is? Because she seems to know everything.
She does.
In the know about, I can't wait for, you know, what's going to happen. And then suddenly she becomes a victim. And I'm like, you didn't do anything. Yeah. You know, so.
I did see where Lamberto and Argento clashed a little bit on the script. So I think that's why it gets pulled in different directions. Because Lamberto was probably insecure because he was younger and Dario was already like known and famous. I don't know. Who knows? But also invited are the blind guy and his caretaker, as well as, you said, the pimp and the two hookers. I would have thought that it was just a man with two women, but they are listed somewhere as a pimp and two hookers. Yeah.
Yes.
And one of the hookers is named Rosemary, and she puts on a mask and cuts her face, and it won't stop bleeding. And during the middle of the movie, she goes into the bathroom and changes into a demon, and it spreads just like a zombie infestation, except it's demons. And just like Night of the Living Dead, instead of being in a house, they're in a theater, and it just goes chaotic. And as you said, 40 minutes into the movie, some interlopers come in and let one of them out into the streets. And at the end, a helicopter crashes through the ceiling of the movie theater. And I don't really think I have to say much more. Our two leads escape, but at the end, the girl ends up having been bitten or something, and she turns into a demon. So they kick her out of the Jeep, shoot her, and drive off, and that's the end. So,
set up that sequel.
Scenes.
Scenes. Oh my God.
Scenes. I mean, there are parts of this movie I do really like. If I had to say one thing, this movie is ripe for a remake. I think in the right hands, this concept could make a decent movie and maybe even spin off like Zombies did into its own little subgenre.
Well, yeah, and the concept might be interesting to do now, especially post-COVID. It's like, you know, go back to the theater. It's safe now. It's great. Get back out and watch entertainment again. And then something
become like a demon.
Happens. Yeah. I did scenes before we do announce scenes. Well, you said it does have some stuff going for it. I think practical effects really work in this. It has some really good practical effects, from the fingernail stretching to the teeth growing. Some of the kills are really good, and the gore is right in your face. Other ones make no sense, like guy falls off the balcony and literally has like 7 gallons of extremely liquid whatever that pours all over chick, and then in the next scene she has nothing on her or whatever. But, you know, it's just
and that's an Argento too, by the way, that girl that gets all the guts in the face.
Yeah, she's like his daughter, granddaughter, niece,
niece, I think. Yeah. I'll get to that in casting, but yeah. I don't have a lot on casting, obviously, because we don't know any of these people, but as far as one of the scenes that sticks out to me that I think is really good is the one where the girl is being murdered behind the movie screen as the movie's going on. And then later when she transforms, there's this really creepy demon on the screen. Oh, I forgot to mention the fact that there is a movie going on. So it's a movie within a movie.
Yeah.
And in the movie, the same thing is happening that's actually happening in the theater. Demons are getting loose. And
yeah, one of my first funny lines is when they're in the crypt of Nostradamus in the movie.
Nostradamus.
And the guy picks up the mask, and the other guy, he's reading the book, and the other guy picks up the mask, and he goes, "No, don't turn it on. Don't put it on. You'll turn into a demon." He goes, "Why?" And he goes, "It says right here, whoever puts the mask on turns into a demon." Oh, my God. Who wrote this?
That's what I'm saying. Who knows if that's really what they're saying or if that was what the dub script said.
Agreed. But
so it could have been better than we know. But I still love it for what it is.
Yeah. You do.
Yes. But anyway, what I was saying is the girl that gets murdered behind the screen claws her way through, and that reveals to the audience that somebody has died. And as she is turning into a demon, there's this really creepy demon on the screen behind her just staring at the audience like he knows what's happening. I thought that was really creepy.
It's very interesting in all of this that he doesn't seem to realize that you can show the effect without it being witnessed by a character in the film. You know, like there was nobody around in American Werewolf when he turned into one of the best werewolf transformations ever in history.
Correct.
But we experienced it. But in this entire movie, something starts to happen and
you know, it's Eddie Murphy again. Too bad we can't stay. We're running. We're going away now. No, we're going to stand here and watch Kathy turn into a demon. We're going to stand here and watch dude say, kill me, please, kill me. My eyes are already turning, dude.
What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Kill me, run. You know, and no, no, I'm going to wait till I attack you before you do anything. No, so many of that. You know, even though, even that scene you're talking about, there's like 20 people standing there watching this
watching
poor
her
woman
transform. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, a long transformation.
I'd be hitting the exits. Let that happen.
That's actually American Werewolf's a good key because of that transformation.
Yeah, done the it's same way with the good. Fingers and hands first.
Right, seeing the claws the come face, out of the hands then the teeth. And the teeth come out. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then the tongue, which made no sense because nobody ever used a tongue again.
No, and for some reason that reminded me of The Exorcist. I don't know why.
Well, probably because of the abrupt, unpractical looking effect. It really takes you out because it looks obviously
yeah,
like a puppet.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other scenes?
Okay.
Oh, come on. I know you have them.
All of my scenes are not good scenes. Like, I would say.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, let's show the opening 3 minutes of this as an example of how not to do the opening 3 minutes of a movie because it is horribly paced. It's very slow. It's very pretentious with her looking around. It takes for freaking ever for her to finally get to her friend and continue. And the first line in it is, are you wearing the mask because of the movie? And again, to your point, it may not be the real scripted line, but it's what is dubbed. So right. That first scene, the transformation scene you just mentioned, yes. The other weird transformation scene that makes no critical sense at all, but obviously it's something he wanted to do to get this movie noticed and on the books, which is a demon can come out of my back for some reason. We don't know why, because nobody else does in the whole movie. And we never see that demon again. So, but nice practical effect there.
You do see it in the background in one shot, because I like the makeup on that one.
Okay.
But you don't really see it as a main character again, no.
We have motorcycle and katana Chekhov's gun kind of thing. Which, you know, we see it in the opening lobby scene, which means it's coming back. That motorcycle
and
that sword.
It's part of the display with the mask that's kind of strange as well.
But, you know, don't show it unless you're going to use it. And they use it. Makes no practical sense at all because a motorcycle cannot go over the back of theater seats.
No, I know. That was stupid.
But it's a huge, lengthy chase scene. Of him just hacking and slaying and driving
around.
He's
basically Michonne on a motorcycle. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he has a vest. His sleeves got ripped off or something, so he's like Rambo.
Well, it's like Rambo. I have it in my notes as Rambo meets Ash because it's a very Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
It's a very Army of Darkness look.
Both those keys, for sure.
That scene, and then my only other scene I would say is
when they impale the guy's face on the rebar.
No. Because that's like, what? Use this convenience.
It's such a talk about Deus Ex Machina. He comes out of the middle of nowhere again
and does nothing. Doesn't say my evil plan worked. Doesn't say I knew someone, one of you idiot kids would scratch yourself with the mask or whatever. Nothing. He just, I'm going to try to knock you off until she stabs me with a harpoon and then you can put my eye on the rebar.
And okay. And take forever doing it.
Oh, I know. It's like,
yeah. How many shots can they show of his eye going down on that thing? Yeah.
I guess my last one was my last scene of memory would be the last scene. We're suddenly rescued by the by the gun hoarding family in the Jeep, and they even roll.
They were good characters, actually. They weren't bad at all.
I could. That's why I would have watched the sequel probably, but I don't know. But
well, they're not in the sequel.
But the credits roll, and then suddenly we get the, she's not the final girl. He's the final guy. Even though they make a big deal about how a one of the demons grabs his arm and literally tears a huge gash in it, and he screams and almost loses the bike, yet he's never infected.
Right.
So, I don't get it. But anyway, that would be the other scene. What about you, scenes?
I would say the transformation in the bathroom as well. The one with Rosemary, where she gets that giant pimple that explodes and goes all over her face. And then later when her friend, I can't ever remember that character's name, but the other hooker, the one that transforms in front of the screen, goes into the bathroom, and Rosemary just turns around and this like glowing green stuff is coming out of her mouth.
Yeah, and I have in my notes, did she drink antifreeze?
That's what it looks like. It's like, but it's as green as the Johnny has the keys behind you. It's very bright green. Then you have the gore for, well, there's a lot of gore for gore's sake in this movie. As you said, that one guy that falls off the balcony and just, it's a whole Evil Dead thing with him just kind of vomiting in this girl's face. Yep. And then you have, why does the demon Rosemary poke the blind guy's eyes out?
Yeah, it seems kind of ineffective.
You know. Right. But it's like, ooh, you're blind. I'm going to make you more blind. And I'm going to punch both your eyes out. And then he's the demon that escapes the theater and I guess infects the world.
Yeah, because he gets the cops first.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it turns into a whole apocalyptic scenario. Yeah, I don't have any other scenes, I don't think. Anything with... the big black guy that plays what's
Tony?
His name?
Isn't his name Tony?
Tony. Okay, yeah. He's hilarious. He's the one that when they figure out the projector is not even being manned by a human, just goes smash everything. He has very jarring. Butch macho type lines that sometimes make no sense. They're just funny. When the woman suggests that the movie is what's causing all of this, he goes, "She's right. She put on a mask and scratched herself. Get it? Because of that scratch, she became a demon, an instrument of evil, just like they said in that damn movie."
Perfect. Sum up the entire plot right there for me, Tony. Thanks so much.
Right.
Gotcha.
And then he's like, "Get out of the way." He's like Mr. In Charge. You know, all of a sudden, I am the boss of this theater.
Which I didn't mind at all. I would like for him to have lived longer. I would have had him stay at least until the motorcycle chase, if not all the way up through the punks or whatever.
Right.
Because
the punks, the Deus Ex Machina punks.
Well, they don't Deus anything. You know, really. I mean, other than here is the proper way to get cocaine out of carpet. They really don't.
Out of a Coke can.
Yeah. Well, no, that's how they work.
Who puts cocaine, who dries out the inside of a Coke can and puts Coke in, literal cocaine in the can and then a straw and just kind of sniffs it while they're driving?
Well, Tim, that was just a clever joke and product placement there. I don't know if Coca-Cola probably allowed that or agreed to that, but, you know.
Well, it is. I don't know that all these American music acts agreed to have their songs in the soundtrack either, because I went looking for the soundtrack and I can't find it anywhere. I can only find the score.
Yeah.
But there's tons. I mean, you know, it's got Billy Idol in it. It's got Motley Crue in it. It's got a lot of British pop, which is really funny. You talk about jarring and juxtaposition again. When that Deus Ex Machina gang makes their first appearance driving down the highway, instead of playing heavy metal, they play pop British music. They should have been playing Motorhead or something. And it was like the wrong music.
Well, and they've got like faux Sly Stallone driving, kind of thing. And I was going, what is going on? Is this obviously this is a mood switch because we got we got nicer music and
he is in the sequel, but it's not the same character.
Oh, yay. So good.
But he does. He's got that broken nose Brando kind of look. Yeah, like Stallone.
Yeah, and for that. A while. And he also is like that, you'll do what I say. And his name is like Ripper or something stupid.
Ripper. So I think works. That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, I kept thinking, oh, so the chick is going to end up being like Linnea Quigley and she's going to get like naked or something or something's going to happen or whatever.
Well, you get to see her breast.
Yeah. But I'm terrified the entire time because he has a razor blade right there. And I'm like going, what the? Anyway. a lot of the motivations in this aren't working. You know?
I think it's not motivation of character. It's motivation of director to make you feel uncomfortable.
Well, there was that. But then there's a lot more of the, I mean, just all the way through it. Like, okay. There's demons in here, so let's barricade ourselves into the balcony. That really doesn't make a lot of sense. And then we have to get out of the balcony, so we'll just knock down a wall, and some of us will go through that. Just a lot of the logic stuff just didn't.
Well, how did everything get bricked in? All of a sudden, the windows are bricked in, and they're trapped and
stuff. Well, because the blind guy told us it's the theater. That's the evil.
That's right. It is the theater. But
and if the theater is evil.
If it's the theater, then why is it the movie?
I don't know. Why is there a helicopter? Why is the silver guy not doing anything? Where did he come from? Why is the elf mean until she's not mean anymore? And I just,
she makes a good demon. She's got kinky hair. She got like that. Where they used to use an iron or whatever to crimp it. Crimping. That's it. Yeah. Okay. We trashed this movie a lot. Let me give you a little bit of background.
Sure.
It was originally planned as a 3-story horror anthology, similar to his father's movie Black Sabbath, which we covered last season. But Lamberto Bava took more interest in this story itself and decided to expand it into a feature.
All right.
I don't know how they would have done it as a short. It would have been awful fast, I would think. The film grossed $1,225,490 Italian lire domestically.
Yeah.
It made it the 39th highest grossing film in Italy of that year.
Wow.
I mean, that means Italy was putting out a lot of movies. Maybe it was the last one that year. I don't know. But it made more it made more money than Cat's Eye, Silver Bullet, and A Nightmare on Elm Street, which all came out like the prior year, I think.
Okay.
The film was distributed everywhere in the world in 1986, including us over here, and France, and Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's an Italian production, as I mentioned, it was filmed in Berlin and Italian studios for a budget of $1,800,000. The building used for the exteriors still stands. It's a club called Goya. If you want to go visit it, it's there in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And the only other thing I can think that I really liked was I always love that line, they will make cemeteries their cathedrals and the cities will be your tombs.
Yeah.
That was
That's a great pitch line. That's a great tagline. It worked in the movie sort of thing. But we just didn't get any, story crafted around that, really.
No.
So.
No, this is a movie to make you laugh. But it's also, I mean, if you showed this to someone that doesn't know what we like or that doesn't appreciate horror movies, I'm sure it would probably offend them because it is really graphic. I mean, when you think about it, it is very gory. It is pure mid-80s gore. Yeah. Casting, I don't have a lot because I don't know these people. So I'm not really even going to say anything, I guess, about them, except that Hannah, who is the virginal girl with the young boy that is they get separated in the movie. She is, as you said, she is Dario's daughter and Asia's half sister. So I was wrong about being a niece, but she was from a different mother. So they're, Asia is Dario's most famous daughter. She was in that Land of the Dead movie I was telling you about that George Romero did.
Yep.
Ingrid is the name of that usherette that looks like an elf.
Yeah.
Geretta played Rosemary. She was billed as Geretta Giancarlo. She is, I think, South African. She is not Italian. She speaks English without an accent. And I saw her a lot in that movie In Search of Darkness, where I was telling you they go back and talk about all the 80s movies.
Yeah.
Those really long documentaries. There's three of them. She's a commentator on it. And I was like, really? Recognized her immediately. And I was like, that's that chick from Demons. And she doesn't have an Italian accent. She's English. So I was like really surprised. But yeah, apparently was in Europe at the time and filmed it. And she, I think, has gone on to do other stuff. Bobby Rhodes played Tony, the guy that has all the funny lines. And he was also in the sequel to this movie, but he plays, what is it when you have like a coach for working out and doing weights and gym stuff?
A trainer. He's a personal trainer.
So he plays a different character, but the same deliveries, same kind of lines. And it takes place in an apartment building instead of a movie theater. So it's very wreck. Anything else? Oh, the only other main thing I have to say about the cast is the man in the mask from the very beginning. And I mentioned this in some form in something else we've talked about someday, somewhere. But his name is Michael Savai. And he went on to become a director. And mm-hmm. he directed the third movie that was going to be a sequel to this, but they changed the plot and called it The Church. And then he went on to do Cemetery Man with Rupert Everett.
Okay.
Which is actually quite a funny horror comedy movie that about a cemetery caretaker and a bunch of zombies. So Michael Savai went on to become a director, that guy in the silver mask behind me. The movie was nominated for 2 awards. It was nominated for an International Fantasy Film Award, Best Film, Lamberto Bava. And then it was nominated for a Golden Kayak. Is that such a thing? Have you heard of that?
I've never heard of it.
It's C-I-A-K. Maybe I'm mispronouncing it. Sciac? I don't know. Anyway, that was The Score by Claudio Simonetti.
And Simonetti did a lot of stuff with Argento, right? Wasn't he his normal go-to guy? Because he's like with Goblin. Isn't he with Goblin?
Well, I was going to say Goblin was definitely the band that Argento used. I'm not sure about the guy or not.
I think Serenetti was one of the Goblin members of the band.
It would make sense because it sounds like a Goblin soundtrack, kind of, the main theme music.
Yep.
And then the movie is on the 1001 Movies You Must See Before You Die.
It is on it?
No, I was waiting for a reaction. This movie is not on the 1001 Movies You Must See Before You Die.
Hell no, it's not. No,
and it shouldn't be. No. But I highly recommend it.
No.
Do you have any trivia before we move on to Keys?
No. I have no trivia from this at all.
There's not a lot of, you know, it's funny that you mentioned it because I Googled this thing. I went to IMDb. I went to everywhere I could find stuff, Wiki. And there's not a lot of information about this movie. I can't find it. So if you know of anything out there that we neglect to mention, folks, we would love to hear it from you in the comments. I do know that, there's a list of like famous movies that are in the theater, like posters. Did you see them?
Yeah.
Like Four Flies on Grey Velvet, which is an Argento movie. Metropolis, the Fritz Lang movie, is back there.
Nosferatu.
There's an AC/DC poster that's probably from a documentary called Let There Be Rock, and some famous concert film, No Nukes, that poster's in the background as well. And then I had one thing I wanted to read before we move on to Keys. Are you familiar with the critic Kim Noonan?
No.
Kim is a man. It's not a woman. And he's British, and he does a lot of horror movie commentary and critiques. And he concludes that both Demons and its sequels were chaotic, inconsistent, blithely indifferent to storytelling, and as prone to cack-handed, which means awkward or clumsy, unintentional comedy as gross-out horror. These are guilty pleasure films, and their demented glee makes them aptly ideal for party movies. And I think that's a great description of this movie.
I can see that.
Because, yep. I mean, you know, Steve and I used to rent bad movies on purpose because made us laugh. And this was one of the winners. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. This is one of the winners. So that's what I have to say about it. We can move on to Keys because there are keys, even though it's a bad movie. There are definitely keys in this movie.
I have a couple of Evil Deads, of course. I have one being, of course, the Demon book. And there's a, you know, let's pick out the Book of the Dead and start reading it in Nostradamus's grave. Kind of thing, which maybe that summoned the demons, but we don't know because we didn't find out.
What does Nostradamus have to do with it?
Nothing. He made predictions.
He just was a predictor, yeah. he predicted the demons.
You know, and that could have been expounded on. You know, maybe people theorize that he was a demon. That's how he made these predictions and stuff. Yada, yada, blah, blah, whatever. But they didn't. The other one was when they lock up Rosemary originally, it's very Cheryl in the basement sort of thing because it's her and her hand and they're trying to close the door on it until they can get the Coke machine over to close on it.
Right.
You know, it's a very Cheryl... Omar,
your sister Cheryl.
To Evil Dead. So
yeah, no, I've got Evil Dead as well mainly because of the gore. I mean, that whole scene where that guy is like vomiting blood in that chick's face is right out of Evil Dead.
Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. There are actually three movies that I would attribute this movie to the most. One is Night of the Living Dead because it's very zombie-esque and they're trapped in a building.
Yep.
One is The Exorcist because they are all like possessed more than they are zombies. The third would be Evil Dead because of the gore.
And I would, my other ones I would add are Dawn of the Dead because it's a contemporary setting and we're trying to kind of contemporize it a little bit. And also the helicopter bit. They actually use the helicopter blades to cut people, which is like directly from... You know, Dawn.
Exactly. I had that one too.
So yeah.
And you hit the nail on the head with Return of the Living Dead because same thing happens in Return of the Living Dead, but it's a car full of punk rockers that come to the scene. The only difference is they're introduced far ahead in Return of the Living Dead, so it makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, and this one they just drop in.
Yeah, if they had edited them earlier and even had one of them say, I picked this up on the floor of the subway, man. It's a key. It's a ticket. Let's go.
A ticket. Yeah. To the theater. Let's go sneak in because the rest of them don't have it.
You mentioned it, and I totally agree. Wreck. I think this is much better than Wreck, but it reminds me of the same kind of
feel. It's not better than Wreck.
No, Wreck's Wreck great. Is much, much, much better than
this. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Wreck is a better version of people trapped inside a building trying to get out with zombies.
Yes, you know. And again, like I said, what this movie's ripe for a remake. You know, tap that guy down in Spain and have him do one. Or find someone else new, you know.
We said Evil Dead. I also had Army of Darkness just because, like I said, he looks like Ash. at the end. He's got his crossbow and he's got his, you know, shirt sleeves ripped off with one cut right. on his bicep. He's very Ash-like.
It and, is. I said Rambo, but Ash is more appropriate for sure.
Yeah. I've got some obvious references. I don't know if they meant them, but they got me for keys. Scream, I think it's Scream 2, though, not Scream 1. Scream 2, the girl actually does get killed behind the movie screen and falls through the movie screen.
She does.
Mm-hmm. And in it has, once we get to the motorcycle, our post-motorcycle chase, it's a very Terminator, Kyle Reese, Sarah Connor kind of feel to it. You know, we've got to survive together. He's after us, especially when we finally get to the roof and there's a silver half face guy trying to kill us.
Well, so. I was going to say, yes. Yeah, he does look like a Terminator with that mask. But also the, as you said, the whole motorcycle chase through the theater.
Yeah.
Is very Terminator-esque because there's a yep. lot of motorcycle chase in that movie as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I see that. And I always think of Terminator as a sci-fi slasher anyway.
Sci-fi thriller.
I have a couple that I think you'll appreciate.
Uh-huh.
One of them is from this season, and that's The Tingler, where you have the movie within a movie
yep.
going on.
Good one. That's a good one.
And then the one where that demon comes out of that woman's back, what does that makeup remind you of?
Spot on. It looked very similar to something, but I couldn't remember. It looks also like the demon mask, by the way, that they use. Because it has the horns in the front and the kind of teeth. So
It reminds me of the makeup in that movie Gargoyles from 1972.
Oh, yeah.
With Cornel Wilde.
Yeah, with the white eyes and the black yeah. eyebrows. Yeah.
And the horns. Yes, yep. yes. I was yeah. like, wow, did they model that after that? Because it was, you know,
that's
over
a good
decade
one.
Earlier.
Yeah, I can
and
see that.
It's actually on our list. We just haven't got to it. But I would watch Gargoyles again. I remember that movie fondly. It's probably terrible, though. And then, actually, it is lastly. The name of the cinema, Metropole, did mm-hmm. that sound familiar to you?
No.
Because you would know this more than me.
Metropolis is all it reminds me of, but no.
It can be seen as a building in the first Silent Hill video game.
Oh! I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember okay. that, but... that's cool.
I don't know that,
great
movie.
Game.
Know that game.
Excellent game. My last one is, what were the movies, Reanimators, the Stuart Gordons? There's a lot of feel of this and that, where gore for gore's sake kind of thing. I think those movies are better. But a lot of, okay, let's prey on the special effects here for a while and just watch them. sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which is...
And that is basically what it is, because yeah. they're lengthy... Well, they feel lengthy
yes.
when you're watching some of the transitions of these yep. creatures.
Some of the transformations are a little too long. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Practical effects, baby.
But darn, Tim, I am so glad that you gave me this treat. I had repressed this.
Oh, and it's a foreign film. Have we done a foreign film this year?
I don't know.
I don't know that we have. Oh yeah, we did. We did Fahrenheit 451. That was a foreign film today.
Well, so that's what Tim and I think of this lovely piece of cinema. We would love to know what you guys think of it. Is it a lot of fun? Is it worth it? Is it a great 80s exploitation slasher gore fest sort of thing? What works for it? What doesn't? We'd love to hear your opinions. Please put them down below. Also, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, that way you'll know what's coming soon and next and all of that. And as always, we could definitely use your support, guys. If you would like to see us keep doing this, we could really use your help over on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You can become a member of Patreon and it helps us defer a lot of these costs. And we have some special stuff over there for you, including two other series. We've got the Dilithium Chamber, which is based on where we examine the original classic Star Trek series, and the X-Files Declassified, which is
Declassified.
X-Files. And we just finished second season of it, and we're going to dive into it again soon. So, plus all kinds of other fun stuff there that we have to join. And we'd love to hear from you guys. Bonus stuff
pertaining to us personally, too.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you guys. What do you want us to do? What would you like us to consider for future seasons and future episodes? Let us know those things. Tim, until next time, what are we going to? Are we going anywhere neat next time, please? Are you going to scare me again?
It's sci-fi, but it's kind of a comedy.
It is a weird sci-fi funness. We'll play with that next week. Yeah. Until
all right,
then,
well,
I'll see you then.
I'll be seeing ya.
Thank you so much for listening to Johnny Has the Keys. You can learn more about us at our website, johnnyhasthekeys.com, and our Facebook page. Avoid missing shows by subscribing on iTunes and Google Play, and please, please like, rate, and review us. We're doing this for genre geeks like ourselves, and we can't continue without your support. See you next show, and don't lose your keys.